Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
New England has sent a message to its troops.
You got to look out for yourself first. There is no end team.
Belichick wants one of the three great college quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence,
hell no.
Trey Lance.
Oh, yes.
Dale Arnold.
The Clowney rumor's ridiculous. There's no chance they're signing Clowney. Can we put an end to that, please?
That's the f***ing issue.
I don't need to talk to Nick Saban about his f***ing injury.
Rich Keefe.
He told Carlos, I mean, he struck him out. He told him a nice swing bit. What are you supposed to do there?
I'm going to win the Cy Young this year, so.
Dale and Keefe with Wiggy.
You know, a draft stock that we'd have to give up.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
We're broadcasting live from our Shaw's and Star Market studios. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI, former New England Patriots. Tight end Jermaine Wiggins is in the house. Good morning, boys.
Good morning, Dale. How
what
are you,
is
sir?
Good?
How are you guys doing?
Great.
I can't complain. The weather's beautiful.
Hot out there.
Love when it's hot.
I wouldn't mind if it went down a few degrees. No, like, I gotta be honest.
Yeah, I'm an indoor cat when it's this hot.
Yeah, I don't mind the heat.
The sun melts my skin. I can't
too
do
cold,
it.
Cold, because then it goes down a couple degrees and it gets cold. I like the hot. Just, you know what? Pop open a fire hydrant, man. Just, you'll be fine.
I'll do that. See how that goes.
I mean, at this moment right now, 85 would feel cool, wouldn't it?
I would take 85.
Oh, 85 is technically hot, though, so I can deal with 85.
All right. Compromise.
I keep refreshing my Twitter feed to see if anybody else has opted out from the Patriots. We're not going to get a day today like we had yesterday, right?
No, I think yesterday, and again, Kern had a pretty good theory about the Patriots, and maybe it's one of those things where Belichick's like, hey, everybody, you have the right to make your own decision, mm-hmm. but if you could give us those decisions, you know, sooner rather than later, you know, we got a whole season to prepare for. We wish you luck. Stay safe, stay healthy, all that stuff. But let's get your decisions now. So maybe another one or two will kind of trickle out as maybe they show up to Foxborough or they start to get more information. But
Bill.
I do too. I think that's a smart way of doing it. It's already going to be such a weird preseason anyway for all these guys. So you don't want to get another week further. And then you're assuming you have a starting right tackle, and he's like, you know what, I'm out. So if these guys all decide right now that they're out, okay, fine. You know, thanks for your time. Well, hopefully we'll see you next year, and let's get with the guys that are going to play.
And the thing that they should already know, right? You're a week away from camp. You should know whether or not you want to play or you don't want to play. I mean, you shouldn't be making this decision, you know, in the 11th hour going, all right, I'm going to play. And that's why I think if Bill did that was a good move on his part. Hey, if you're not going to play, I need you to let me know a week and a half, 2 weeks before we open up camp so I can make whatever decisions I need to make. And I think all teams should have did that with the coach.
Yeah,
should
have for sure.
Been able to do that. I don't get why they're giving them till August 3rd. When that's like right up to it, and these coaches would have to scramble last minute.
I haven't had a chance to talk to you, Wiggy, since all the news came down yesterday. Did you have any problem with the guys opting out?
No, I got no problem with it.
With you, by the way.
I mean, everybody's got their own reasons. I don't think anybody's going to have an issue with it, though.
And I think, especially if you do it now.
Yeah.
Now, again, I guess something major could change, but I feel like you have to understand what the risks are, and if you say you're going to play, you play. You don't get 4 weeks in and say, now I'm out. Like, I think as long as these guys are doing that, they all have their reasons, so be it. Like, I don't think anybody should be criticized for that.
Backlash coming from anybody at all, whether that's on social media, because even if you do come after, they're... whoever
I've heard it. I've read a couple of things.
It's a little bit.
Oh, come on, wussies, get out there and play. But well, like somehow they're supposed to be there for your amusement.
But you also get the people saying, "Oh, I wish I could opt out of my job." It's like, "Yeah, well, you're not a professional athlete. Maybe you should have been a professional athlete, and maybe you should have made millions of dollars, and then you could have opted out. maybe that, you know,
should have worked out a little bit more." But those people would probably get dragged more than anything, because I think most people know now, right, that even if you decided to say, and I know, never compare the NFL or professional athletes to the real world, because it does not work. You can't do it.
It's a different world.
Yeah, you cannot do it, you know. But
I saw a couple of those on Twitter, too. Like, hey, I'd go out and play for a lot less than that, you know.
Yeah, it's like, go ahead, get out there. Right. Put a helmet on.
Right.
The camp starts next week. Get out there. Right. Go ahead.
Poor guy will be in the hospital in 8 minutes.
He'll be in traction.
Not only does he have corona, he can't walk.
Yeah, it's just different. It's a different world. You know, you see Joey Bosa getting $102 million guaranteed today. Yeah, like, it's a different world. It's hard to compare the two. Nope. Some of these guys, and it was the same thing with baseball. You know, David Price and Ryan Zimmerman and others, they opted out. You know what? Yeah. They have $150 million in the bank or whatever it is. Like,
well, that's why I said
they can afford to opt out. Remember, they can do it.
I remember Dale and I disagreed on this one. I was like, $11 million to David Price is probably, you know, nothing to him. I mean, granted, it's still $11 million.
No, it's a lot of money, but at the same time,
$11 million is a lot of money for anybody.
But his
I don't know, but when you make that type of money.
It's obviously a lot of money, but it's also like David Price's day-to-day won't change at all.
No.
Like what he does the rest of this year, whereas if all of a sudden one of us...
He can buy anything he wants to buy today.
Right.
Well, the fact that you're willing, even with Dante Hightower, the fact that you're willing to say, I'm going to walk away from $8 million, doesn't that tell you that money... doesn't really mean that much to you? If you're walking away from it.
I think that's why it's such a hard decision. I mean, I think it's $8 million. It's also, you know, you had this commitment to this team and all this other stuff, but then you had to weigh it. Yeah, but you had to weigh it, and you said, all right, well, this, to me, is not worth the risk. Right, it's all about risk-reward.
Right, so once you walk away from that money, you're saying that money doesn't mean that much to me.
I don't know if it doesn't mean that much to you. You're just saying that the family's more important.
The health of my newborn child and my mother who's got diabetes.
Right, I understand that.
That's more important than the money.
You're making it too dismissive. I think the money is still important, but he's like, well, listen, $8 million.
All right. But we all know, but see, that's the thing. I think we all know money's important. Let's not. But when you're able to walk away from that type of bread, that means that money really ain't that important to you, right? Because...
it just means your family's more important. No,
but that's stating the obvious. We know that.
Well, I know
that
you're saying, because there was a couple basketball players, I think it was Ed Davis and another guy, kind of came out and were like, hey, Dwight Howard, it's easy for you to say,
that's all
you know,
I'm saying.
I got you.
So for the guy, like I give a guy like Vitaly credit.
Yeah.
You know, not that I wouldn't give anybody else, but when you walk away from your chances – and you don't have that type of money. The money is important to a guy like Vitaly.
Like, are any of the guys that are opting out, do they have to sell their house or sell their car or
whatever
else?
That's my point.
Like,
for them, for Dante Hightower, that $8 million is irrelevant.
I mean, it's a little strong. I mean, $8 million
you're taking
is
a little
not
further
irrelevant.
Than I'm willing
well,
to.
If you're willing to walk away from it, if there's a 20,
I don't think it was like an easy decision.
If there's a $20 bill on the ground,
I'm pouncing on it. I am pouncing on that thing, whatever it takes.
So that money, so that money's important to you.
It is.
But if there's a $100 bill and you just walk by it, then that means that money ain't that important to you.
I don't think that day will ever come for me.
See, that's my point. So you would be a guy that...
I don't care if that was just draped in feces. I'm grabbing that $100.
Right. Dale, listen,
$100.
So you would be a guy that if you were going to be making $8 million or David Price $11 million, you wouldn't walk away from it.
I probably wouldn't.
Okay, so the money would be important to you.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
There's a couple of things at issue here. Especially with and I heard you on with Greg and those guys, especially with the three names at the top of the six-man Patriots opt-out list. With Dante Hightower and Patrick Chung and Marcus Cannon, you've got two things. One, they're probably financially secure based on their careers. Two, they've got rings.
Yeah.
You know, they've already been to the highest mountain you can get to in the NFL. So it's not like they're in that pursuit. Man, I got to get a ring before I'm done. I got to get a chance to win. They've got money. They've got rings. It makes it easier. It doesn't mean that the money and the chance to win another ring is unimportant to them, though.
And they also have all played, 9 or 10 years?
Yeah.
They're all.
Hightower's
the youngest, and he's 30.
Yeah.
Cannon's 32. I think Chung is also 32 or maybe even older. So, I mean, all those guys have... had a long, they've all played longer than the average NFL career.
Right.
So not that they wouldn't have wanted to come back under normal circumstances, but they can look at it and say, you know, even if I never return, I had a good career and I accomplished everything, like, you know, what I wanted to accomplish.
Like,
or
I don't
maybe
expect
I come
us,
back next year.
I don't think we'll see Patrick Chung in a Patriots uniform again.
You probably won't see Hightower either.
See, yeah, I think
you will.
He has the best chance.
He's only got 1 year left on his deal, right?
Yeah.
So, and then you're looking at.
But it bumps to next year. So he's under he'll be under contract
right,
for next season.
But his number is, I think his number's really high. Isn't it like $10 or $11 million? I forget I forget where I was listening to this. But here's a guy that, you know, probably had some injuries over his career. He's only got what, 1 or 2 years left on the deal. He's not going to be around for this year. And I heard, I believe it was Michael Robinson, who's on NFL Network, who made a great point. The league is, what have you done for me lately? So if a guy comes in and balls out, let's say Juwan Bentley comes in and balls out, Bill might be like, you know what? It's probably not worth paying Dante $10 million.
True. I mean, yeah, they could restructure it, too, if you really wanted to come back or
right,
something
so,
like that. But yeah.
So when I look at this, like...
I think Chung and Cannon are probably done.
Right, and I wouldn't be surprised...
You think maybe Hightower...
Maybe Hightower doesn't want to take that restructured deal, and that's another reason why he ultimately is a bot of him.
Maybe.
It'll be interesting. I don't expect you'll get any more today. Part of the issue here today is there's no testing due today. Rookies and quarterbacks were Monday. Veteran players were yesterday. Today's supposed to be a day off, quote unquote, in the testing regimen, and then they are back to the testing come tomorrow. And I think the guys, as Tom hinted, and as probably Bill Belichick said, look, if you're going to opt out anyway, let's not even worry about the whole, you know, don't bother coming for the COVID testing. You don't need it.
Right.
Yeah, I think the biggest wave you're going to get, whether it be the Patriots or other teams, would be in the first couple of days. I don't think, you'll have some guys that maybe take it to the last minute. Maybe they're having a negotiation with their family and they're trying to figure out, all right, what makes sense? What can we do? Should we do this? But I think the biggest number of names was certainly from yesterday, because you're right. Why travel to the other state? Why show up? Why go through all that other stuff if you're already pretty much convinced that you're not going to play?
I know Wiggy said yesterday when he was on with Greg Hill that a guy like Marcus Cannon just doesn't matter to him in terms of he's not a Dante Hightower caliber player. But here's where I think it matters a lot. Marcus Cannon opts out, his choice, got no issues, got no arguments with him. That means Kajusti is now your starting right tackle, which means, God forbid something happens to him, now you're on your third string right tackle, and you know, you're trying to keep Cam Newton upright.
Like
I think
a Marshall Newhouse type.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I mean, it can get bad, but it's
Marshall's done a good job.
Yeah, no, he
but
didn't.
But Cannon didn't play that well last year.
Yeah,
so.
Cannon's a real tricky one, because if you're missing...
But he's still better than what you have. I mean, that's why he was the starter,
maybe not.
Right?
We don't know
maybe
that.
Not. I mean, Kajust was on IR last year.
Did you think going into training camp that Trent Brown was going to be better than Nate Solder?
Probably not. No.
Probably not, right?
No, you didn't.
And he was much better than Nate Solder, right?
Yeah.
So when you look at it, you lose a guy like Cannon, you kind of know what he is, but he struggled a little bit last year. It's the same way with Patrick Chung, right? Patrick Chung, there were games last year where I heard people were like, oh, this guy's lost it, he can't play no more. Now you got some young kids, and what's the Williams kid? Is it Juwan Williams? The defensive back.
The corner? Yeah, second round pick. Yep.
Maybe they move him to safety. You got the kid Duggar. Right? So, not that.
I think if you did a list ahead of time and say you were going to rank all the players, like the most important, like if Cam Newton opts out, or Gilmore maybe. If Gilmore or Cam Newton opts out, that would be
issues.
The biggest blow.
Julian Edelman.
Julian Edelman. Like those are your top three in some order. I think Devin McCourty and Hightower were in that group.
I would say Hightower's in that group.
I think, you know, Cannon and Chung, they're going to be losses, but there's a lot of guys ahead of them.
Right.
Like there's a lot of guys ahead of them that make
this.
A major impact.
Think about this. They just re-signed Chung right around free agency, right? They gave him an extension or something like that.
Yeah.
If they didn't re-sign him and they let him walk, is anybody tripping about that?
No.
Right.
No.
So now that he decides to opt out, let's not all of a sudden make it seem like now it's like, oh, I mean, you lost Patrick Chung. You're going to need a, it's like, you know.
No, he's a solid pro.
Right, he's a solid player, but I just.
But I think no, that, I mean, McCourty, Gilmore, Jackson, Jones.
Right, they're further
more
down on the list, and I think that some of those guys, you could maybe replace them with guys that might end up being better than them.
We talked yesterday about if there were other guys who were, and Tom E. Curran said there were other guys who were considering it either positively or negatively. And we talked about the veteran guys. Rich ran through the list of guys above the age of 30, you know, who've made their money, who've got their rings. And I'll just give you an example. Matthew Slater is a guy who I wouldn't be shocked if he opted out, but I'll tell you that he's not going to opt out.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter is a strength and conditioning coach, and she was out working with kids yesterday, and she said, here's Matthew Slater out in the hot sun working in this field because he's getting ready to play football. So, you know, he's obviously not considering an opt-out, especially, you know, the way she put it, the way he was out there working and sweating his butt off in the hot sun.
Yeah, he's ready to go.
He's getting ready to play football.
I mean, Cam Newton, Julian Edelman, Damir Bird, Mohamed Sanu, all these guys we've seen on Instagram going, you know, balls to the wall, those guys are going to play.
Yeah, I know.
And also, when we talked to Curran, and he said he knew there were guys that were kind of on the fence or having that discussion, that was also right before we found out about Patrick Chung. So that certainly could have been one of the guys on that list. And I know he's close to the McCourties. I'm sure that just from what they've said publicly, you know that they're
I wouldn't be a
at
bit
least
surprised
considering
if,
it.
I wouldn't have been a surprised at all if I heard one or both of them
but you look at
had
the,
elected to opt out.
But I think the thing you look at is, okay, if these guys are opting out, why is it, right? So with Chung and Hightower. It's, you know, they got both of them got newborns, or one Hightower's got a newborn, and Chung, I believe, has got one coming, right?
Yes,
right.
So I think within a month or something.
So that's their issue. We know why Cannon's a cancer survivor, right?
Sure.
So there are some of these other guys that you'll start to see. You're starting to see what? If you were to go over all the players, we know Marquise Goodwin in Philadelphia. We know the reason why he opted out. He just had a new baby, but he had some issues with him and his wife before.
Right.
You're starting to see a lot of these lineman-type players opt out because maybe they're a little bit heavier and, you know, maybe they have some of the, you know, pre-existing.
They might check the at-risk box.
They check that those guys.
They absolutely will.
Yeah.
So
especially if you had an African-American offensive lineman, he checks a couple of the boxes on that list of at-risk categories. Categories that the NFL put out.
76% of your league is checking out.
Most of your league
When you see some of these guys opting out, you understand why. You know why they're opting out, right? Most of these guys are not opting out because they're I don't want to say most of them, but there's a few of the guys that are opting out because of themselves. Like Chung and Hightower, I don't think they're really concerned if they get it and they're not they feel like they can get through it.
It's a family member.
It's the people. Yeah. Where Cannon is a little bit different, right? Cannon probably feels like, well, if I get it, it could lead to something else.
So, I know Devin Funchess said he has had family members who have had it. He hasn't had it, but he's seen firsthand family members who have struggled with it. So I think his fear is kind of bringing it back into his family.
And I think
there's a lot of guys like that
their fear is maybe bringing it back to the family member.
Right.
So
sure.
I'd love to see if
Dante Hightower with his mom who's got diabetes.
Right. I'd love to see if they had a bubble, would these guys then maybe some of these guys might not opt out because they know they'd be.
Because don't you think, and I mentioned this yesterday, but don't you think that the players, without, you know, saying specifically who they think would screw this up, they're worried that somebody on their team or an opponent is not going to do the right thing? Because if they were convinced that everybody was just going to wear a mask, go home, their family members were all going to do the same thing, and then go to the football field and practice or play,
right?
I bet they'd all be on board. But they just know that somebody on their team is going to screw up. Somebody like on the Marlins is going to go to the club, come back, and be like, oh, I'm fine. You're not fine. And now you're on the field practicing, and it spreads that way.
We've seen it. There's going to be a Lou Williams.
There's going to be an
Andre Kasha. There's going to be
half the Marlins.
You know, there's going to be Marlins players.
Right.
There's going to be players that say, you know.
So that's what's unfortunate, because I think guys like Chung, Cannon, and Hightower would be three guys that you would all assume would do the right thing. But they're just like, we got too many guys on this team that are 22 years old, 23, 24.
And like you said, you don't know what guys
on
other
teams, they're going.
Other teams are
and,
doing.
And your opponent, right.
Well, let's get to what isn't happening here. And as always, we'll let Colin Cowherd lead the way here for the dumb take category. What is not happening here is what Colin Cowherd is trying to peddle.
New England has sent a message to its troops. A, they weren't aggressive in free agency. Number two, they let marginally expensive players go. And number three is, didn't appear to have a big rush to replace the greatest quarterback of all time. And when they did acquire Cam, it was on a day that really bad news was going to be released by the NFL about the Patriots kind of, you know, cheating and stuff. Belichick wants one of the three great college quarterbacks. My scouts say all three of the quarterbacks coming out next year are A prospects. Scouts? Two of them, Trevor Lawrence and Trey Lance, may be A high A prospects. And if New England goes 5-11 or 6-10, there's only about four teams left that need a quarterback. They'll be there.
Who's the third guy you scout?
Was he didn't Justin mention Fields? Justin Fields, but I'm sure that's the scout was on top of that guy as well.
Scout.
So he's got his scouts.
Clown.
What a clown.
What a clown.
Scout. I love Keefspiracy as well as anybody. I feel like you should. If you have him, bring him to the table at all costs. But the Patriots tanking for a quarterback doesn't make sense for a number of reasons. One, Bill just doesn't have the stomach for it.
Right.
Bill wants to chase down Don Shula. He signed Cam Newton.
Right.
So even if the Cam Newton signing was a cover-up of Spygate 2, which, again, there was weird timing there, sure. I don't know if it's just coincidental. But still, you upgraded your quarterback significantly.
Right.
So if you wanted to go 5-11, you just let Stidham play. And if Stidham's good, then, hey, great. Now, actually, maybe you don't need a quarterback.
Yeah,
so that part doesn't make any sense.
You let Stidham and Hoyer battle it out.
And so you're going to tell me Marcus Cannon.
In fact, don't even let them battle it out. Let Hoyer play.
So Marcus Cannon, if Tom Brady was back, he plays? If they were more aggressive in free agency, Patrick Chung doesn't have a kid on the way and he's not concerned about it, or Dante Hightower doesn't have a kid and he's worried about it. They have no worries now if Tom Brady's here. They saw what happened with Tom Brady last year. He lost in the wild card round.
Well,
Cam Newton gave him a shot in the arm this year. Those guys, they were all fired up. Googly eyes, everything else. They were all fired up, ready to go. And now,
what we'll do is when we come back, we'll get the hot take about whether these opt-outs have anything to do with the departure of Tom Brady. Because there's a hot take out there for that, too.
Good.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Wednesday. Wiggy's in the house. That means Pandering Man makes an appearance at 1:30 today. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, and it's time to trend.
Back to Dale and Keefe with Wiggy.
I said the lights get too bright, the booty holes get too tight.
On WEEI.
That's what it is.
I wonder, and I'm really like wondering aloud here, because obviously if Hightower has a baby at home and a mother with an underlying condition, of course you want to be as careful as possible. So I'm not doubting anyone's seriousness or sincerity about why they would opt out. But it is interesting to me that we're hearing about a lot of Patriots the year that Tom Brady won't be there. Not only just the leadership and the continuity, but the expectations for the season. And I wonder if that is having any kind of an influence on people's decisions.
We were going for the hot take, Quinella here, because first we had Colin Cowherd last segment, and Max Kellerman kicks off this segment. Wiggy, do you think that the six Patriots who opted out did so because Tom Brady's not here this year?
No, I don't think it has nothing to do with Brady. I think it's because Bill said, hey, listen, I need an answer, right? I can't wait till August 3rd. You know, I need you to give me an answer.
Talk it over with your families and come back and tell me what you're doing.
And I bet he probably put that out there early. I bet you that's something that's been out there early for a while. Like, I'm talking for a few months where, you know, he's probably been on some type of Zoom meeting with these guys and saying, hey, listen, if you guys are thinking about opting out and not playing this season, if we end up having one, try to let me know a little bit early.
Well, especially when you're looking at the other sports, specifically baseball, because they're starting a 60-game season, and they had a handful of guys opt out. So it couldn't have been shocking to any NFL coach or GM that some of their players also wouldn't want to play.
Right.
So then you have that discussion maybe as early as then. And
then they just released nine players to the Patriots?
Yeah, they did, because they had to get to 80, and now they brought one of them back. I think Will Hastings, the wideout, they brought back. But they could bring some of those guys back, or they have all this cap space now, so maybe they'll sign some of these veteran free agents who are still available. But I think I disagree with the hot take too. Again, I don't mind it. You're trying to come up with different theories for, you know, why are all these Patriots compared to the rest of the league? Why are they doing that? I don't buy it though. I would buy it a little bit if Cam Newton wasn't on the team. I would say these guys, because we made the same case, Wiggy, for, you know, the basketball teams that are returning. If you don't really have a chance, how committed are you? Or the hockey teams that don't have a chance. Or certainly the baseball teams, like the Marlins, the first weekend, the exhibition, they were like, we don't have a chance, and they were already screwing it up. So if you were on, you know, the Jaguars, and you'd already made your money, you could be like, is this really worth it? But when Tom Brady was gone, the Patriots were like, maybe a playoff team. Mm-hmm. But then as soon as they signed Cam Newton, at least the expectation jumped right back into their playoff team. If anything, they're going to be just as good record-wise and, you know, how far they go. Because, again, they lost in the wild card round with Brady. with Newton, we're all expecting them to make it to like the divisional round. So right. It's I don't think it's a we're not a Super Bowl contender anymore, so I'm going to opt out. I don't buy that at all.
Well, are they favored to get to the divisional round? Let's give you one last one here. Dan Orlovsky takes a look at what happened to the Patriots yesterday and maybe has readjusted his expectations.
This was going to be Bill Belichick's greatest challenge. Going into this year with all the losses that they have had and the transition of a new offense with potentially Cam Newton coming in, no Tom Brady, this was going to be his greatest challenge. It's only gotten more difficult because Patrick Chung is the type of player that really changes the way New England plays defense. To have a guy like Patrick Chung who has all those reps built up and talking to guys and communicating, that's a big deal. And for that loss, this is going to be a massive undertaking for Bill Belichick. This clearly puts, in my opinion, the Buffalo Bills were already the favorite in the division. This now makes them the clear runaway bona fide favorite in the division because so many Patriots are either not there or opting out.
Are they the clear? Were they the clear favorites before these opt-outs? Because I didn't think so.
I thought they were the clear favorites in the division.
That changed for me when Newton signed.
Yeah, that's
what we're saying.
Yeah, that's what.
No,
we're
but
saying.
He's saying before the opt-outs, the Bills were the clear favorites.
Oh, the Bills. No. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I never thought the Bills were the favorite.
No, he was saying the Bills were the clear favorite even before these opt-outs.
I don't buy that for a second. Now, I'm not as high on the Bills as I guess he is and maybe a few others are. But if you even just look at, you know, Vegas or, you know, as far as where the money is going, the Patriots, they were the favorite in some places pre-Newton, which I thought was nuts. And then as soon as Newton signed, it was like a clear cut. They were no longer tied. They were the clear cut guys. Now, if you want to reassess without Hightower and then to a lesser extent Chung, Cannon, and the other guys, you would say, all right, maybe it's a little bit closer. But I just think once they went from having the worst quarterback in the division to the best quarterback in the division, that made it a pretty easy
pick
for me.
They're still the favorites. I mean, you lose guys that are valuable, right? You lose guys that are valuable, but are they replaceable, right? Can you replace? And I think when you look at Chung and Cannon, you might be able to replace them with, you know, two options that possibly could be better than them, right? So when you...
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. Plus, how do we know that either of those guys, you know, at age 32 or whatever, didn't take a step back anyway? So even if...
And I think we all thought that they might have taken a step back, right?
I all along thought Cannon was going to retire. And then there were like some rumors swirling around that. And I was just waiting for that announcement to happen. And maybe this is in a weird way kind of a retirement.
And the hottest piece that you're going to have to replace is the part of Hightower.
Well, your three best linebackers from last year are now
right,
gone.
They're all gone.
That's going to be the hottest piece, especially when he's healthy and on the field, right? So now there's going to be other guys that are going to have to step up in that role. But you were going to have to replace Jamie Collins and Kyle Van Noy anyways.
But I think those guys are good examples of, you know, you got Jamie Collins back again, right? Mm-hmm. He went and got his money with the Browns, then came back and you got him. Kyle Van Noy was looking like a bust, and then you got him and ended up playing pretty well. So I feel like those guys would be the types of players that Bill Belichick would be able to
replace. You got the kid Simon. Who knows what he might take a step forward this year. And
That's true. I like him.
I look at Juwan
Bentley, if he stays healthy, I think he could be good. They drafted Anthony Jennings in the third round.
Right. You still got Chase Winovich. You got to cut the other kid from Michigan that they drafted. When you look at this team, I think Bill will, you know, put it together.
Yeah.
The biggest issue I had with this team is the quarterback play. And now that you added Cam Newton to that quarterback room, and who I ultimately think is going to be your starter, he's going to put you in position where you're going to be able to control the ball more. You're going to be able to, you know, have an element of the quarterback being able to run. So that might open up your regular running game.
Right.
And you're hoping that the key component of this offense is going to be N'Keal Harry, that he has a big year.
Rich Hill, who writes about the Patriots for Pat's Pulpit, put out a tweet today. He said, if the season even happens, the Patriots are still going to wind up atop the division because, one, they have the best quarterback in the division. Two, they have the best offensive line in the division. His words, not mine. Three, the best defensive backs in the division. I'll add a fourth, they've got the best head coach in the division. I mean, if you agree with him on those things, they're probably still going to win the division, right?
Yeah, because, again, I think the Jets are horrible. I think the Dolphins are probably another year or two away. They got to see what happens with Tua. They got some good news today from Tua. I guess he's going to be able to practice. He passed the physical or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the Bills, and it's how big of a leap does Josh Allen take?
Right.
How much of an addition is Stephon Diggs? Like, can Allen really utilize Diggs, or is he going to be throwing it at his feet and throwing it 10 yards over his head and still making dumb decisions? Because they have a pretty good defense. They have a pretty good right. coach. Like, they to me are a playoff team, but are they one of those teams that, you know, rolls out of bed and gets 10 wins? No, I don't think they're there yet. So, and then you throw in just the fact that there's no preseason games and the practice time is limited and everything else. Yeah, I think you'll take your chances with a guy like Bill Belichick over just about anybody else.
And now that Bill has a quarterback.
Right, because without that, you can really only do so much.
Right.
So, yeah.
I think the other question for a lot of people is you know, what do they do with all this
cap space
money?
Use
here.
It.
Well, yeah. Well, here's one for you, and I know Rich will be all on board with this. You've got the cap space money anyway. Go get Cam Newton his weapon. Bring Antonio Brown back.
I would love that. I feel like if it was just up to Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, Nick Casario, Cam Newton.
I don't think Robert Kraft would let him do it.
That's it. I don't think Robert Kraft would.
You might have to wait. And hopefully the Browns are struggling a little bit. And then
Odell.
And then you go get Odell.
I'm telling you, my hot take from Monday.
That's your dream, Wiggy, but I just don't see them wheeling him out of there.
Why? They were willing him. They were saying that they would listen to trades, you know, during the offseason.
Yeah, and then they said, no, we're not trading him. So
well, maybe you get a good package.
Those are famous last words, yeah. Dale, for every league. Yeah, we're not trading this guy.
Yeah, we're not trading Jamal Adams.
See you later. First round pick.
We're not trading Jadavian Clowney.
Yep.
We're not trading Mika Fitzpatrick.
Right, and then they get
dealt. And I'm on board with your high
trade all
hot,
your picks.
Hot take.
Trade all your picks. You don't want picks in the 2021 draft. Too much of a crapshoot.
Although I brought up the point yesterday, Wiggy, maybe you'll disagree with this, that if the cap is in trouble next year, and in a best-case scenario, it's going to remain flat. Most people think it's going to go down some.
Mm-hmm.
In a worst-case scenario, it's going down $70 million and everybody's in trouble. But if the cap goes down, some of those cheaper, less expensive draft pick types or undrafted free agent types are going to be necessary just to keep your salary cap in check.
Yeah, but why can't you get the undrafted guys? That's the whole point. That's the whole point of the take is a third round pick has probably just as good of a chance of hitting if there's no college season as an undrafted guy. So you can still sit there and take all the undrafted guys, but you use those picks mm-hmm. for established players. Like Jamal Adams. You know Jamal Adams will be good next year.
Yes.
The second-round pick, or even some of these first-round picks, you're going to have no idea. Again, a great case study is Joe Burrow. 2 years ago, Mel Kiper thought would have been a fifth-round pick at
coming
best.
Coming into the season.
At best.
Coming into the
then
season.
Then he plays his senior year as the number one overall pick.
Right.
So there's so much. The top 10 picks you could probably do right now.
Well, you got
it's
one on your roster.
It's the Oregon tackle. It's a bunch of guys from Alabama.
You got one on your roster, and that's Jarrett Stidham. Everybody tells me, oh, this guy was a first-round grade. He was this, that, and the other, and he was a fourth-round draft pick. So, and it went the other way with Joe Burrow.
Teams are going to be swimming in it. You heard GMs complaining that they couldn't have pro days. It's like you had a whole college football season. You had the Senior Bowl. You had the NFL Combine. You had all that.
They like to get hands on them.
Yeah, then they were up in arms about that. Can you imagine if you didn't have 12 to 15 games of tape to look at and the Combine? These guys are going to have no clue. So go ahead. Take your pick at 25 overall. It's just going to be a dark
road. And guess what else you don't have? No Senior Bowl.
And that's huge.
The reason why you took the kid Duggar is because of
he had a big Senior Bowl.
You know, you think Bill takes him with no Senior Bowl?
If Aaron Donald didn't have the Senior Bowl and the Combine, he might have fallen out of the first round, and he's the best defensive player in the league.
617-779-7937. When we come back, we'll tell you who Mike Lombardi says Bill Belichick will not go spend that salary cap money on. And we'll take a look at the list of free agents and see if there's another guy we can tempt Wiggy and Rich with. Top of the hour, we'll talk a little bit about Joe Kelly, who touched things off last night as the Dodgers played the Houston Astros. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio WEEI.
He's a fourth-round draft pick.
Come on. It's a Wiggy Wednesday on Dale and Keefe.
I can go both ways.
On WEEI.
Let's go.
What's more likely here, signing one of the several high-profile free agents still on the open market, like Jadeveon Clowney, I mean, Damon Harrison, swinging a trade for another prominent player, or saving it for 2021?
I think they're just going to stay status quo. If they get guys for the minimum, they will, but I don't think they're going to waste that cap room to go out there. The Clowney rumor's ridiculous. There's no chance they're signing Clowney. Can we put an end to that, please? There is no chance he's going to play for the Patriots. There's no chance the Patriots want him. He doesn't practice. He plays a wide nine. Those are the two things that don't go over very well in Foxborough.
It's Mike Lombardi talking about the rumors of Bill Belichick using some of his salary cap room to pursue Jadeveon Clowney. Mark Daniels of the Providence Journal put together a list of potential free agent targets as well. And one of the things he said about Clowney, fellas, is that reportedly he's looking for $20 million a season. Now, there is no chance Bill Belichick gives him that. None.
20's not going to happen. But
well, especially after he sees what guys like Bosa and Myles Garrett again.
Well, he's going to want that, but he's also unsigned, and it's almost August. So I don't think he's going to get $20 million. So if the Patriots have an offer in the ballpark with whatever other offers he gets, maybe he could come here. I'm just surprised Lombardi would be so quick to dismiss Clowney. Like, the Patriots have brought in so many different types of players and guys that you might not think are fits, and some work, some don't. We went over the list of all these guys that would probably surprise you that they would end up on the Patriots. And for a one-year deal, I think they would literally sign any player that is available and they think they could help. And he's talking about how he doesn't even fit. Well, isn't the Texans defense and the Patriots defense have some overlap?
I would think so.
I would think so. There's been a lot of personnel there, a lot of D coordinators that are the same. I would think
isn't Romeo Crennel the defensive coordinator?
Was, yeah.
Guys, he had 3 sacks last year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what he had.
He had a down year.
He had a down year, and he's looking for big cash. Now, look, if he comes in and takes a Cam Newton-type contract, yeah, I bet Bill would sign him. I just don't see Clowney doing that, do you?
I don't know. I don't know the guy.
He might not. No, he's not going to have to take the minimum, though. Like, he had a bad year, yes, but he's not going to have to take the minimum like Cam.
No.
Again, Antonio Brown had just such a ridiculous time with the Raiders, right? He's screaming at Mayock, who apparently Belichick's friends with, and all this other stuff. He's burning his feet off. He's not practicing. Can't get a helmet that fits. All this other stuff. And then the Patriots give him 9.5 guaranteed.
Right. And you know who else they signed?
Could be worth 12.5. Like, that wasn't a veteran minimum. We'll take a chance. Right. They gave Brown a good amount of money.
Well, you know who else the Patriots signed and played a wide nine, and all he did was rush upfield and go after the quarterback was Michael Bennett.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to say that the Patriots won't sign this guy, if they sign him, and then does he buy into the system, right? And I think and Rich, you make a great point.
Thank you.
There's a lot of overlap from the Houston
Pats,
defense.
There has to be.
Romeo Crennel was the defense coordinator while Jadeveon Clowney was there.
Yes.
Right? And that's the same defense.
I mean, let me run a couple of other names by you. You give me some yays or nays. Clay Matthews.
Yes.
34-year-old outside linebacker.
I think he's
8 sacks in 13 games with the Rams last year.
Yes. He has more sacks than Clowney, but I think he's cooked. I don't want Clay Matthews.
I want as many players as you can get. I'll take him. Get after the quarterback.
You got Chase Winovich.
According to Mark Daniels, the Patriots reportedly thought about bringing Matthews in. Instead, they drafted Josh Uche in the second round.
Yeah, if they brought in Clay Matthews, that would be like when they brought in John Lynch.
It's
like
Chris Long.
Big name, great player. No, I think Chris Long had a little bit more left.
Yeah?
I'm a no on Clay Matthews.
Okay.
All right, how about Mark Barron? A veteran linebacker, might be the best available free agent. 82 tackles, 3 sacks last year for Pittsburgh.
I'll take him.
I'll take him, too.
He's 30 years old.
Wasn't he?
No,
I mean, they moved him.
Yes, he's a converted safety.
Yeah.
30 years old. He's got 710 career tackles over 8 seasons.
Yeah.
Also played for Nick Saban at Alabama.
A Saban guy. I would take him. He went from being like a bust into like a decent enough player. So, he's older. He was not going to cost you, I don't think, a ton. I'd take him, though.
Year.
Add him to the. Yeah. Yes. Yes on Barron.
All right. How about a guy who plays safety? Was a Pro Bowler in 2013, is only 28 years old, had 130 tackles and 4 sacks last year for Carolina, and with Patrick Chung now opting out, Eric Reed at safety would look really good.
Yes.
Yeah, I take Eric Reed. Yeah, 100%.
I got no issues with that
Do we really need another defensive back?
No, we'll Do you need him. Another guy who kneels, though? Not on my team. I'm not going to watch this stuff
not
anymore.
Not what I'm complaining about.
I'm not
just saying,
watching
you
this
need
guy.
Another defensive back?
I just stand up for the anthem, Reed.
Well, everybody's
You need to leave politics out of it and stop making me question my morals.
Everybody would be nailing this shit, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, you're right. How about you bring Adrian Waddle back?
Yeah, fine.
I'll take him.
I'd take Adrian Waddle.
Yep.
I don't think he's that bad.
He didn't play last year. He was on injured reserve. He had a torn quad.
But
I think supposedly, you know, is okay now.
Because if one of these younger offensive linemen from your last couple of drafts, if they emerge, great. You know, if they're better than Waddle, great.
Right.
But if not, that's sort of a good fail-safe.
Yeah.
So I would bring him back.
I'm all in on that one.
Yep.
What about Everson Griffin?
Yep.
That's
sure.
the guy I want.
Yes.
I'll take that.
I'll take him. Absolutely.
Now, there are...
There's a surprising number of guys that are available still, huh?
Yeah.
Logan Ryan was in the NFL's top 100, still a free agent.
Logan Ryan was in the top 100?
Yes.
I'll take him.
I'd bring him back.
There are reports out there that Sony Michel is still recovering from his foot surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Bolden has opted out. Are you interested in Devontae Freeman?
Yep.
Sure am.
Two-time Pro Bowler.
Yes,
I am. He's only 28.
Yeah, let's bring him in.
I think so. And then you throw him into a backfield where, you know, you got Burkhead until he gets hurt. You got James White for maybe a couple of carries and, more of the pass catching.
I'm all in
on
Freeman.
I'd bring Freeman in.
I wouldn't have an issue with that either.
There's a lot of good options here. And with all the money they have, they could probably get two or three of these guys.
Jordan Reed at tight end.
I'm in on that
injury
one.
Injury risk, Jordan but probably Reed. Low cost.
Yeah.
Who was the other guy you said? Delaney Walker was available?
Correct.
I'd bring one of those old guys in. Jordan Reed's hurt all the time, though.
Yeah, he's
dealing
with the concussions.
I can't take Jordan Reed.
You just need to last a couple games until your rookies know what they're doing.
Last a couple
Why
games?
Not just trade?
Then the poor guy's going to get scramby eggs again upstairs. I can't have him.
Why not? Why not?
I feel bad for him.
Why not just trade for David Njoku down in Cleveland?
I would do that, too.
I like that. I brought that one up a couple of weeks
ago. I'll take it.
I'll do that. Again, trade all your draft picks. I'm on board for that.
I mean, for him, you probably don't have to trade much. Probably
wasn't
trade.
He a first round pick?
He
though?
Was, but you know
the,
what?
The rumors were it would take you like a third round pick or something to get him.
Yeah, let's do it. Pick up the phone. Get on the stick.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The Joe Kelly Fight Club moved west. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.